participant in our shir. Your mother should be le'ilui melitzas yosha for the entire family, and you should all only know nachas v'simcha v'tanuach b'sholem al mishkava, and you should only know b'sodas tovus. So, this shir usually deals with either the weekly pasha or in Yunad Yoma, but today we break with tradition. And I will discuss the topic because it is so important and so relevant, and so many people on Abonim turn to me and ask me to discuss this topic in public, and not only in Shuvis that I wrote, and not only in personal Psukim. And that is the question of vaccination, of vaccinating children. So what does it have to do with the Avochah D'Kaparsha? Sometimes I look for a kesher. The only kesher I could find is doctors. V'yachantu haroifim. You know, they did chanota. So one of the things doctors do is vaccinating children. Other things doctors do, today they don't do it any longer, is embalming the deceased. That's the best I could do to find a kesher between the topic and this week's parsha. Might do better in the future. But the topic is a very important topic. And it all starts off with Hilchas Ritzeach and Shmiras Haguf v'hanefesh, the chiyuv that we have to ensure our safety and security and those of our children and all other people. So the Rambam writes a Perek Yud Aleph from Hilchas Ritzeach. Actually, Ritzeach is Ritzeach and Shmiras Haguf v'hanefesh. And could I have a Rambam Nezikin? Just reading the Lashon of the Rambam is always enlightening. So the Rambam in Hilchas Nezikin, Perek Yud Aleph, Melchas Tzeach, when the Rambam deals with the mitzvah of Seif Asiyas Makor, which is a mitzvah of Seif like many others, and the Torah specifically explains why we have a mitzvah of Asiyas Makor. It is because of Pen Yipranoifel, Loi Tosim Domem Beveisecho. And the Rambam writes, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Dalet. Echod Hagag, ve'echod kol dover sheyesh bo sakona, v'ra'ui sheyeh kosher bo odom v'yamut, kegon she'oseh lo be'er, oy bor v'chatzer, oy ben sheyesh b'mayim, ben she'en b'mayim chay, v'lasos lan chul yegavoy asor etvochim, o lasot kisui, kedei sholo yepel bo odom v'yomais. V'chein, kol michshol sheyesh bo sakonas nefoshes, mitzvah saseh lehasirou, u'leishom mimeno, v'leizor v'dover yofi yofi shenema. Hishom alacho, ushmoyo nafshecho. Ve'em loy heisio, ve'niach ha-michsholot ha-meviyim l'day sakana, bitel mitzvah tasei, va'avar al lo tasim domem beveisecho. So the Rambam clearly says, we have a esa and we have a lois esa. And this mitzvah is twofold, active and passive, kum va'asei and sheval taisa. The Rambam writes, Kol mechshol sheyesh bo sakonas nefoshes, mitzvah sasei lahasiro, on one hand, that is active, kum vasei, lahasir et hamechsholot, velehishamer mimeno, velehizor, bedover yofi yofi, that is in a passive way. So, on one hand, we need to be proactive in preventing sakona. And we learn that from Vosiso makala gagecha. And we also need to avoid sakana and steer clear from anything that might cause danger. And that is what we learn from Hishom Alecho Ushmoyer Nafshecho Moed. And there are many different sources in Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi from which we learn. Chazal say, you're not allowed to go under a kior hanoit lipol. So, many millions of people visit the Tower of Pisa every year, and I was asked, could you stand next to the Tower of Pisa? Well, it's slightly tilted. But I think it's been tilted for about 500 years. Still didn't fall. So obviously you could be Mamed al Chazoka, Chazoka de Meikora, like Cheskes Chai. So Chazal teach us, you don't drink Maya Megulim, you don't walk under a wall that seems to be in danger of falling. And on the other hand, you need to be proactive and you need to build a mica. So there are many sugas and shas dealing with this basic concept and idea. Primarily, Brochas Lamed Beis. Brochas Lamed Beis, we're dealing with Hilchas Tefillah. And Chazal tell the story of a chosid, chosid echad she'er oimid b'tefillah, and a very important non-Jewish figure walked past, and he said hello, and the chosid did not respond because he was in the middle of davening. And that tsar, who was a minister, probably, obviously a government official, and he patiently waited. And when the chosid finished davening, he said, "Are you aware that if I would cut you in half, I'd cut your head off with my sword, nobody would make an issue out of it. And isn't it in your Torah that the Pasuk states, was this the right thing for you to do?" And the Chosid responded by saying, "If you would be in the presence of your king, and you would be talking to your king, and somebody would tap you on the shoulder and say hello, would you answer him?" He said, "Of course not, that's not Koig Malchus. In the presence of the king, I would answer to no one else." And the chosid said, "Well, I was in the presence of the king of the world, of the king of all kings, so how could I possibly respond?" And the tsar said, "Great." He just wished him luck and moved on. So I think the chosid was just a very lucky chosid. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the right words. So let me tell you a story. There was a person in my community, in my keilah, who had a heart transplant. Very, very special person. And after he had his transplant, he lived for another 15 or 16 years. So he had his operation in South Africa, and it was a woman doctor, woman surgeon. Before he was wheeled into the operating theater, she stretched out her hand to wish him a speedy recovery and to tell him, "Pray to your God that I be successful in the surgery." And he did not give her his hand. And she was taken aback. She was surprised. And she asked, "You're not going to give me your hand?" And he said, "I'm giving you my heart." And she smiled, and she was very impressed. And I knew the person. He wasn't that bright. But if a person is a chassid, yes, yata d'shmaya, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him the right words. And she was very moved. And the operation, needless to say, was successful, and Baruch Hashem, he lived many years afterward. So our chosid of Brochas Lamed Beis, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him siyata d'shmaya. The minister was impressed, could have worked out differently, but because he was a chosid, he had siyata d'shmaya to say the right thing, and that guy was in a good mood, and everything passed peacefully. The Mashon Chidush HaGolis, Brochas Lamed Beis, said, "That's a mistake." Because when we learn the context of the Pasuk, in Parshas Veschanan, it deals with Avodah Zorah. It doesn't deal with physical danger. It deals entirely with in the spiritual realm, in Ruchnius. So that was a Goyish Cup, but that's not the real Pshat in Pasuk. However, the Rambam quotes this very Pasuk in Perik Yud Aleph, Halachadala, and that is the posting that was quoted by that non-Jewish minister on Brochas Lamed Beis. So obviously, if Chazal say this posting, then it's not a chiddush of Ploini Almoini, of a non-Jewish person. That is Teres Emes. Otherwise, Chazal wouldn't quote the very posuk. So the Rambam quotes this very same posuk. So the Mishnah, maybe it does make a difference. It's a chiddush HaGodes, not a chiddush HaLochis. But anyway, what we see from this Rambam is that this mitzvah is twofold: to avoid sakana and to actively be proactive in preventing sakana. So wouldn't it be a davar poshet that people should vaccinate? And why are there choshev rosh yeshivas, especially in America and some here as well, that are against vaccinating children? Yes?
Would you tie Avraham and Yitzchak offering their wives to the king in as an assay of Shmiras HaGuf?
No, Avraham and Yitzchak did not offer their wives. That is not. They said, "Imrinu achoisiyat," they just shouldn't kill me, but they offered nothing. They just pretended that she is not an Eish HaSish, because if those goyim want to do something terrible, at least they should be over on one Aveira and not killing him as well. That is what they did. The only one that offered was Loit. And Loit is not someone we learn from, but Avraham and Yitzchak never offered their wives. They just asked their wives not to disclose that they are married, because those goyim didn't care about anything besides Eish HaShish, and they would kill Avraham. That was the story. So vaccinating children, l'cha'ayra, is based on the chiyuv of shmiras haguf hanefesh to prevent terrible diseases from those children. And we're dealing primarily with a triple vaccination, which is chatzavet, chazeret, ademet. I think that is mumps, measles, and rubella, something like that. Rubella. And those are serious illnesses. So some rabbonim argue, because vaccination sometimes has side effects, and maybe there's a certain degree of danger resulting from vaccination, then it is preferable a person shouldn't vaccinate the children and cause immediate stress or danger to those children to prevent maybe a future illness which the child is not affected by right here and now. So why put your children into immediate stress and danger to prevent future danger? That is their argument. But I think that is a totally invalid argument. And the question of vaccination goes back, it's unbelievable, to Shnas Tof Kuf Mem Hei, that is 230 years. So I think it was 1796 that a British doctor named Edward Jenner discovered vaccination for smallpox. And smallpox, which is in Hebrew called Ababuot Shchorot, was a terrible disease, and thousands upon thousands of children perished and died from smallpox. Smallpox was totally eradicated by the smallpox vaccine. Measles, mumps are not eradicated. Those viruses are still very much alive. Smallpox, Baruch Hashem, is gone from the face of earth. So when Edward Jenner developed the smallpox vaccination, it caused somewhat of a controversy in the rabbinic world. And this is very interesting and fascinating information. First of all, just to understand what a terrible disease smallpox was, the Shloka Kodesh, when he deals with the mitzvah of Shmiras Haguf HaNefesh, relates to smallpox, and he says that when this epidemic strikes, then parents are mechuyev to take their children out of the cities, out of the urban centers, take them to the countryside. And parents that don't do that are asidin, litin, asadin, and they bear responsibility for their children's lives. And the Mogen Avraham quotes the Shlo in Siman Tov, Kuf Ayin Vav. We find that the Mogen Avraham quotes the Shlo. There is a chiyuv gomer when smallpox breaks out to leave the cities or send your children away from urban centers. They should not contract smallpox. So the Teferes Yisrael, in two different sources, relates to the smallpox vaccination. In Perek Gimel of Masechet Tovis, on the Mishnah, Cholev Odom Shenivra V'Selem, I think some time ago we spoke about this Mishnah. Perek Gimel, Cholev Odom Shenivra V'Selem, Chibi Yisrael Nadaslo Shenivra V'Selem Alakim, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenikru Borem Lamokim, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenitan Lem Klei Chemdo. And the Tosfos Yom Tov writes that the reisha of the Mishnah, Chovev Odom Shenivra V'Selem, refers to each and every human being, Jew or Gentile. Every human being is Nivra B'Tzelem Alekim, and they all are precious. But Yisrael stand apart. I think Hanukkah spoke about this Mishnah, right? So Teferes Yisrael deals with the question, do non-Jews have place in Olam Haba? And he writes a list of non-Jews who made such tremendous contributions to the well-being of the Jewish people and to mankind in general. And number one that tops his list, he writes, HaChosid Yainer, and he means Jenner, Edward Jenner, HaChosid Yainer, who discovered smallpox vaccination. No chance in the world I could say that in Yiddish.
Pokkenimfung.
I still won't be able to say it again.
He writes Pokkenimfung.
Right. So he writes a word that has about 25 letters. And he is Mitzayin, Hachosid Yeinar, beyond doubt, will be Zoicha Tuchai Olam Abo, because he saved tens of thousands of children from death. And the Tufes HaSol and Perek Ches of Masechet Yoma. Perek Ches of Masechet Yoma deals with the basic sugis of Pikuach Nefesh. And there, he raises the question, should one vaccinate his children against smallpox? And he writes, one should. And before going into the argument and the explanation why one should, I just want to quote another source, which is not a well-known source. Tav Kuf Mem He, as I said, 230 years ago, a Rav that was living in London, and his name was Rav Avrom Hamburg, from the city of Nanzig, obviously a city in Germany, a little town in Germany. He lived in Haag, and then he lived in London, wrote a kuntres named Olei Trufo. And I actually have the kuntres. And he writes in his introduction that he lost two children, two infants, the smallpox, a small boy and a small girl, and that is what brought him to write this kuntres. And he writes that some rabbonim were against vaccinating, exactly the same argument that we hear today. But then the danger was far greater than it is today. As we could just assume and imagine, medical trials 230 years ago weren't anything similar to what they do today. And both the Tiferes HaSol and the Alei Trufa, Rabbi Avrom Hamburg, write, 1 in 1,000 children might die from the vaccination, but still, we should vaccinate our children, because if we don't vaccinate them, the danger will be far greater. So that is their argument. And I think that argument is far more valid today than it was in the past, because by statistics, it's not 1 in 1,000 that die from vaccination, maybe 1 in 1,000,000, maybe even not. It is unknown that children died from vaccination. The side effects are usually extremely mild. Sometimes they might be a bit more stressful, but we're not dealing with serious side effects. No one dies from vaccination. And if we don't vaccinate, the sakona is a very, very real one, a tangible one. So this brings us to a question discussed in Simetov Chavav at the very end of Choshe Mishvot. The Beis Yosef brings Agos Maimonios. Agos Maimonios says that a person is mechuyev to put himself in a lesser degree of danger to save another person whose life is an imminent and immediate and a greater danger. So the Agos Maimonios says, Mevor b'Yerushalmi, that a person is mechuyev to put his life in a lesser degree of jeopardy to save another person whose life is a far greater danger. And the Gos Maimonides, neither the Beis Yosef don't quote, where is that Yerushalmi? So I learned Yerushalmi many times, and the Yerushalmi, the only Yerushalmi that is relevant, that might be the source of this ruling, is Yerushalmi Masechet Rumis, Daf Lamed Zayin. What do we have in Yerushalmi? So Yerushalmi tells a story. Rev Amy was captured by cannibals in the forest, and his life was in great danger. And they came to tell Rabbi Yonason that Rabbi Amy was captured and he's somewhere in the forest. And Rabbi Yonason says, you know, he starts lamenting Rabbi Amy and he says, we gotta prepare tachrichim, which means no chance. There's nothing we can do about it. He's lost. I just wonder, if they're cannibals, what are we gonna do with tachrichim? I don't know. No, none of them, of course, have asked that question. So the Yerushalmi goes on and tells about Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish, before he did tshuva, was a fighter, a formidable fighter, maybe a martial arts artist, I don't know. So Rish Lakish hears, and Rish Lakish says, no, I'm not Messiahish. I'm not willing to forego Rav Amy's life. I'm going into the forest. Either I'll kill or I will be killed. But I am going to try to bring Rav Amy back. And he goes into the forest and he finds those bandits and he threatens and he negotiates and he brings Rav Amy safely home. That's the story told in Yerushalmi without going into many details. So Agos Maimonides learns from the Yerushalmi that a person is required to put his life in certain danger to save another person from far greater danger, because Rav Amy couldn't defend himself. He was totally at their mercy. And Rish Lakish judged, he is a fighter. He could put up a fight. So he does stand somewhat more of a chance to survive than Avemi. One could still argue, maybe the Shlokesh did lefnei Meshuas Adin, maybe it's a Midas Chassidus. How could we learn from the story that it's a Chiyuv? Maybe one is allowed to do so, but not necessarily a Chiyuv. But the bigger question is, the Beis Yosef quotes Agos Ma'amayin Yosef, but we do not find it in Shulchan Aruch. So how do we deal with a situation in which we find the Halacha in Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef doesn't bring anybody that is Cholek, that rejects the Halacha, but we do not find this very same Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So there's a very well-known tshuva in Yosef Oimitz from the Chidos, in Melamed Ches, and the Chidos says, three different explanations might be valid. How do we understand why the Beis Yosef quotes the Halacha and we did not find it in Shulchan Aruch? Number one, maybe we could learn this very same Halacha from another source in Shulchan Aruch. And because the Beis Yosef wanted the Shulchan Aruch to be as concise and precise and short as possible, if we could learn this very same Halacha from another source, he doesn't want to write it twice. Explanation number two, maybe it's a Milta de lo Shchicha. So in Shulchan Aruch he writes only the important halachas that are part of the Seder Yom, that are common. But a question that is extremely uncommon, he relies that the Lomdim will look for it in Beis Yosef, though he doesn't have to bring it in Shulchan Aruch. Number three, when the first two arguments are not reasonable, then we should assume that it is not halacha psuka. He brought it in the Beis Yosef, but he decided intentionally not to include it in Shulchan Aruch because ein halachi kemoisoi. In our case, the two first explanations are unreasonable. This is not a halacha we could learn from any other source in Shulchan Aruch, and it might be a very common question which manifests itself in different ways, in many different situations, in many different scenarios, and it is an important halacha. And therefore, obviously, it is not halacha psuka. So, a person is not required to put himself in danger to save another person from danger. So he's not mechuyev. Is he still entitled to do so? That is another question. Some gedolim, including the Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Ches of Masechet Yemei, say he's not mechuyev, and that's why the Beis Yosef doesn't quote the Igos Maimonios in Shulchan Aruch, but he still is allowed to do so, to put himself in a lesser degree of danger to save another. Would it be relevant how big that danger is? So if the danger to the rescuer is extremely remote, and the danger to the one that we want to rescue is a great danger, an immediate danger, would we still say it's not a chiyuv? Minchas Sosher Shalas Tshuvos. I think it's Chelek Gimel Siman Kuf Chof Beis Kuf Chof Gimel. I wrote two tshuvos dealing with these issues, and I based my ruling primarily on Tshuvos HaRadbaz. And what I learned from the Radbaz is that there are three different dargas. The Radbaz writes, if the danger to the one that tries to save another person is extremely remote, it would be a chiyuv. If the danger is not extremely remote, but it still is a minimal danger, it would be a midas chassidus, not a chiyuv. If a man is putting himself into a great danger, even though that other person's danger is even greater, that would be a prohibition. That is the opinion of the Radbaz. Some other Achroinim argue, definitely wouldn't be a chiyuv, but it still would be muta to put yourself even in considerable danger to save another person from a greater danger. So this question manifests itself in our modern world, primarily with kidney donations. So a kidney donation, one cannot say, doesn't involve sakana. Sometimes anesthesia involves sakana. I know of one case, not with a Jew, but I have a very good friend, doctor in America, and he told me that in his hospital, kidney donor, the first time he sat up in bed, the nutures, is that the right word? Sutures, yeah. Sutures came apart and he bled to death in a very short while. But that was a freak accident, which is extremely uncommon. In our society, in Haredi society, and I think it is a fact that I am extremely proud of, because for many years we were derided and degraded and attacked as if not caring for human life. Why don't we donate organs? So the Haredi community tops the charts of the entire world. There is no other society in the world in which there are so many kidney donors, live kidney donors. And I personally know at least 20 people that donated kidneys to recipients they don't even know, not family members. And this is such an unbelievable chesed, and it is the most beautiful Mesiras Nefesh I could imagine in our day and age. There's no greater Mesiras Nefesh. I know a Choshevarov from America that donated a kidney, and when it was suggested, does he want to meet the recipient, he didn't want to meet him because he didn't want that person to feel indebted to him. And he wanted it to be entirely Lashem Shemayim. He didn't want to have the simcha of seeing that person. No, he said, I'm happy I did the mitzvah. I wish my recipient, Arichas Yom HaVishonim. So this is, it speaks so much about the chesed of our community. Yes, we don't donate hearts because it is questionable of Yalocha. So those people that donate their hearts, they donate their hearts when they're dead. So it's not such a big chachma as giving away an organ when you're healthy and you're doing good and you're alive. Because after all, Kodesh Baruch Hu created a person with two kidneys. I doubt it's like a spare tire. You know, you can't drive without a spare tire. And you need a spare tire if you get a puncture. Should be able to have another tire. It would be unreasonable to say a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us two kidneys and one is a spare. I think he would give us two hearts, at least two brains. So obviously, Toivim HaShnayim in Uechad, V'Afal Piken, so many people give away a kidney and that is an unbelievable chesed. So there is a minimal danger to the donor. But for the recipient, many times it's an immediate lifesaver. It's a question of life and death. Would it be a chiyuv? No. I think that is the level of a midas chassidus. We could in no way say a person is mechuyev to give away a kidney. No. But I do think it's a midas chassidus. Because fatalities are extremely, extremely rare. One in many thousands. And for the recipient, it's a great chesed.
And to give a heart.
Giving bone marrow or blood, I would say it's a chiyuv. Chiyuv goma. If you know you're a match, it's a chiyuv. Because the danger of these procedures is virtually non-existent. And therefore, would be a chiyuv. Even if there might be a freak accident, those don't count.
Give a heart after death?
As I said, it's extremely questionable halachically, and it brings the question whether, how do we define death? Is it cardiac arrest, or is it brain stem inactivity? I don't want to go into that question because it's not really what we're talking about. So the basic question, does a person have to put his life in minimal danger to save another person's life from maximum danger? Is a question. And the argument to say that he's not mechuyev is because chayechu koidmin l'chayei chavecho. And that is the machlokes of Akiva and Ben Petura in Bava Metzias Samach Beis. So one could argue, putting your own life in a minimal danger in order to prevent sakona from yourself to a far greater extent, the kuli alma would be a chiyuv. Because the argument that I'm not supposed to put my life in jeopardy to save another person from danger is based on chiyechu kod melchei chavecho. So when you vaccinate your child, you're causing him discomfort, maybe danger, 1 in 100,000, even less. and you are maybe saving him from death at a later stage, from measles or from another illness. And therefore, I think it would be a chiyuv. And I think it would be a chiyuv for two counts. Number one, the risk to your child is minimum shebe minimum, and the danger to him and to other children would be significant, and therefore would be a chiyuv, and especially because you're saving your child and not only others. So the argument of Chayechu Koidman falls away. So what about vaccination? So some Rabbonim still argue that vaccination causes autism. This ridiculous argument. So in 1998, 20 years ago, a British doctor, I don't know why everything, only the British, discovered things about vaccination, named Andrew Wakefield, printed a paper in a very prestigious scientific medical magazine linking the triple vaccination to autism. Took a few years till it was disclosed that he was bribed and he's a crook, and a pharmaceutical company gave him money because they planned to break up the triple vaccination into three different vaccines and they hoped to make billions of dollars. And he did totally flawed research, which was intentionally distorted, and his license was revoked and he could no longer practice medicine. But for some reason in our community, still some Rabbonim come up and support this ridiculous argument that has no scientific basis whatsoever. So vaccinations don't cause death. We don't even know about one case in which the demise of a child was in any way linked to vaccination. Sometimes there are very mild side effects. Sometimes the side effects might be more serious, more harsh. But if we don't vaccinate children, children will die. Let's put it very, very simply. And in Yerushalayim and in Bnei Brak, there is a spread of chatzavet. Only in the Haredi community. And in the past few weeks, one child has died and some others have been in extreme stress. And some of them might have long-term implications, because measles sometimes impairs your mental faculties, and it is a very serious illness. And it is the most contagious disease known in medicine. It is the most contagious disease that we know. And many children contracted measles. And what is so bad about the situation, the vaccination is only given when a child is a year old. That means all the children after 1 year of age are extremely sensitive and are extremely prone to contract measles. So in a society in which everyone vaccinates besides one person, he's not putting anyone in danger. But we don't know where the tipping point is and what is the critical mass. And if more and more children will not be vaccinated, there definitely will be a widespread outbreak of mumps and of measles. Ademet causes severe deformations in fetuses of women that contract ademet, which is mumps. Measles is a very, very bad disease, which could cause mental retardation, and it could also cause the demise of children, and it happens. So those that do not vaccinate your children are putting their children in danger, are putting other children in danger. So to me, it's a milsa de pshita that it's a chiyuv gomer, not a midas chasidus, a chiyuv gomer. There's a fascinating tshuva in Mincha Shloime, Chelik Beisim and Pei Beizois Yud Beis, a tshuva I disagree with, but it's an interesting tshuva. So Reb Shlomo Zalman was asked about participating in trials for experimental drugs. Is one allowed to be part of a trial group for experimental drugs? I think that Shlomo Zalman mistakenly assumed that the government or medical establishment would expect people to volunteer and put themselves in danger taking experimental drugs. And Shlomo Zalman comes up with an interesting argument. Many achronim say that the rules of pikuach nefesh and chayechu kodem lechayecha veichu don't apply to war. Definitely not to melchemes mitzvah. So when the Sanhedrin and Melech Yisrael decide to wage war, whether it's melchemes mitzvah or melchemes rishus, every war has its dangers. And you can't win a war without sacrificing the lives of young people. So Melchemes Rishus is justified not only as a Melchemet Magen, Hatzolos Esol Miyad Tzar Hakom Olov, that's a Melchemes Mitzvah. So why wouldn't we say Pikuach Nefesh overrides any other consideration? There are no Dine Pikuach Nefesh in times of war. When war is justified, we are not deterred by the fact that some people will ultimately pay with their lives. So Reb Shlomo Zalman wants to broaden the Hagdora of Malchama. And he says, if there is an outbreak, something like Makas Oroiv, and the animals have become crazy, the bears and the wolves and the lions are all over, would that also be defined as a Malchama? And we would say, yes, we will send volunteers out there to fight the animals, and some of them will be killed, but that is a din of Melchemes Mitzvah, like Hatzolos Yisrael Ma'akamorov. Reb Shlomo Zalman argues, yes. What's the difference whether it's warriors, people, or bears and wolves and lions and wild animals? It's the same sakona. And then Reb Shlomo Zalman stretches the concept of Melchemes Mitzvah even farther, and he says, so what's the difference between warriors, animals, germs, and bacteria, small animals that are invisible to the naked eye? So maybe when there is an outbreak of an illness, of an epidemic, that once again would justify people putting their lives in sakana, like Melchemes Mitzvah. I don't understand the entire discussion. First of all, pshitili ledidi Melchemes Mitzvah, war is war. And you don't wage war against wolves and bears. They don't have bad intentions. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them. And this is not defined as war. So of course, everything we do in an outbreak of animals is defined by Pikuach Nefesh considerations, and only Pikuach Nefesh considerations. And who are then when we're dealing with sicknesses or epidemics? But there is no such thing in a decent society. Nobody expects people to put their lives in danger to take experimental drugs. To the best of my knowledge, we only use experimental drugs for terminally ill patients when we have nothing else to offer them, conventional medicine. And even then, it is voluntary. And usually, scientifically, we see no room for concern. We just don't know whether there will be any positive results. But it is only patients that we have nothing else to offer them in the way of conventional medicine. So this entire discussion is not relevant. But the question is, so does a government have the authority to impose on people to vaccinate their children, the same authority that a government has to impose war on its citizens? No. I think it has nothing to do with Melchemes Mitzvah, nothing to do with Melchemes Mitzvah. But on the other hand, by pure pikuach nefesh considerations, it is a chiyuv gamma to vaccinate your children. So some parents turned to me, and at least one of them told me a story which to me was a surprise. They vaccinated child number one, and he developed a severe eye condition, which impaired his vision. Vaccinated child number two, same. So they did not vaccinate their other children. And they asked me, are they mechuyev to vaccinate your other children? And my response was, first of all, check out with the best medical professionals. What happened to your children? Is it in? Could it in any way be related to vaccination, or maybe there would be something else involved? Environmental, genetical, I don't know. But you should check out, because when we're dealing with big numbers, sometimes there are statistical quirks. When we're dealing with huge numbers, with hundreds of thousands of children that are vaccinated. So maybe it might be just coincidence. But if the doctors don't know how to explain what struck your children, I would say don't vaccinate your other children. Who knows? After all, there's a sugi in Yevamos, Meisa Echov Machmes Mila. Chazal, 2,000 years ago, weren't aware of hemophilia. And the halacha is, if two children died after Mila, then we don't do Mila to the other. Treizim and Ahava Chazaka, when we're dealing with questions of health. So I would say in this case, don't vaccinate your other children. But these cases are so rare and so remote, they would not cause danger to the greater community. As I said before, if 99.9% of the children are vaccinated and there's a yochid here or there, the virus is not active. But if more and more children don't vaccinate, that's when problems start. So is a person entitled to say, why vaccinate my children? After all, it does cause stress to children. Everyone else is vaccinated. So I won't vaccinate my children. Does he have a right to say so? No. For two different reasons. One is a Gemara that we find in Bavli Sanhedrin Kuftes and Yerushalmi Bav Metzia Tezavav. The Bavli deals with Anshei Zdoim, the Yerushalmi deals with Dor HaMabul. Both were not the best of people. And the Yerushalmi describes the minag of Anshei Zdoim, and according to the Bavli, that very same minag was Dor HaMabul. A merchant came to town, and he has a wagon full of nuts or dates. So the entire city came out to the marketplace, and everybody took one date. And the person was yelling and screaming and crying. But after an hour, he was left with nothing. And each of them said, I took one nut. It's a pachas mishava pruta. There were 100,000 nuts in this wagon. I just took one. Yes. But when you looked around, did you see another 10,000 people and each one just took one? So all of you together destroyed the livelihood of a person. We learn from this Yerushalmi and Bavli that a person is not allowed to do something if he is aware that if everyone would do the same as him, then someone would be destroyed. So each and every one of you culprits just took one date. Just took one out. But if all do the same, the results are terrible results. So a person cannot abstain from vaccinating his children because he knows that all the others do vaccinate. If everybody is going to do the same as him, then tragedy will strike. And the other point is, Bava Basa, Daf Ches, Choshe Mishpat Kuf Samach Gimel. A town which needs security. Each and every member of the town either needs to volunteer for Shmira or pay his dues. So an individual could sneak away and say, there are enough volunteers. If they're going to be one less, the city is not going to come under siege. If I won't pay, there still would be enough funds. No. It's a chiyuv gomer. Either volunteer or pay. So you have no right to take advantage of the effort and toil and loss of others. So you want to save your children from the discomfort of vaccination. The only reason you can do so is because all the others do put their children into discomfort and stress by vaccinating them. So you have no right to save your children from the discomfort which they are privileged to have just because all the others do not spare their children from that discomfort. And it is the same like Choshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Samach Gimel. Each and every member of the community has to either pay or volunteer for service. And that is why it is my opinion that vaccinating children is a choiva gemura. It's a chiyuv, and it's not only the right thing to do. It's not only a medical seedus. It's not only the smartest thing to do. I think it's a chiyuv gemura. And all those arguments about the terrible effects of vaccination are totally have no basis and totally void of substance. So yes, there is discomfort. Sometimes there are mild side effects, but that is the price we pay for life. And that is the price we pay for safeguarding our children from terrible diseases which endanger the lives of children. And before these vaccinations were developed, thousands upon thousands of children perished from these illnesses. So that is briefly my opinion regarding the topic of vaccination. So this week, we finished Chumash Bereishis. And I just want to go over some basic thoughts that we discussed many times in Chumash Bereishis, emphasizing the story of Yosef that we learned in the last 3 weeks. So many times in the past 3 months, I quoted the Ramban. And the Ramban appears at the very beginning of Chumash Shemois, not in Bereishis. Masa Avos, Yetzira Laboron. And the Ran comes to explain why Chumash Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzira. Only a third of the very first Parsha deals with Bria Shamayim Voretz. So why would the entire Chumash be called Sefer Yetzira? The Rambam writes, because the entire Chumash deals with Masa Avos. But Masa Avos, Yetzira Labonim. Not only Simen Labonim, Yetzira Labonim. Whatever the Avos did, whatever they said, whatever happened to the Avos, is a simen for the entire story of the Jewish people ad Yetzay Amin, and it is only creating a Metzias for Klal Yisrael. So when the Pasuk tells us Yaakov Avinu went to sleep, Kodesh Baruch Hu kipel Eretz Yisrael tachtov kedei shetei noicha likovish bifnei banov, and if our generation was zaycha with Nisim v'Neflois to come back to Eretz Yisrael and to conquer the land and to hold on to the land, and in many wars we saw Nisim Geluyim, it is all in the koyach of Oisei Zokon of Yaakov Avinu, kasher HaKadosh Baruch Hu kipel kol Eretz Yisrael tachtov kedei shetei noicha likovish bifnei banov. And we find the same in Bava Masa Daf Kuf regarding Avraham Avinu when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says kum esalach ba'oretz kedei shetei noicha likovish bifnei banov. So Masa Avos Yetzira Labonim. So the Aruch Chaim asks a question about Yosef and Yaakov. When Yosef reached the pinnacle of power and glory, why did he do nothing to notify Yaakov that he's alive? And Yaakov was tormented and in Avelis 22 years. Why didn't Yosef initiate and send a messenger the first thing to Yaakov? I'm alive. If you want, come to see me. He did nothing to notify Yaakov. The Chaim Kodesh says he did not want to be malban polim to his brothers. He didn't want humiliate and bring shame upon his brothers. But to me, I have a very uneasy feeling about this. So Yaakov has the chmonas on his brothers, and he doesn't. Yosef has the chmonas on his brothers, and he doesn't care about his father. After all, his father is the tzaddik, and he's sitting but sakoi v'taniso, mourning his beloved son, whom he loved more than all the others. So Yaakov is caring about his brothers that did such a terrible avla, not only to him, but to their father, and they cause him pain and suffering and torment. Do we care more about the perpetrator than about the korban, than about the victim? Especially Yaakov Avinu, tzaddik, the tzaddik Yaakov. So I find this hard to accept. I always teach my Talmidim about the Yashlus of the Rishonim. The Rosh asks this very same question, and the Rosh answers almost the same answer, almost, slightly and starkly different. And Perash HaRosh HaLatoyah that we have today, and the Torah also brings him, the Rosh says, Yosef Avinu knew Yaakov, and if he tells Yaakov he's alive, Yaakov would want to know the story, what happened. And if he tells his father Yaakov what happened, that will cause Yaakov more pain than mourning his lost son. That will cause Yaakov more torment, the awareness that 10 of his children conspired such a terrible conspiracy and they did such a terrible thing to their brother. That would cause Yaakov more pain and more suffering and more agmes nefesh than the avelis over his lost son. And that is why Yosef did not tell Yaakov. So I gave two reasonings, two tirutzim, but I want to share with you what I feel, Lanias Daiti, based on the Mahalach of the Ramban. Yosef Avinu, Yosef HaTzadik, became aware at a very early stage that this is not Derech HaTeva. Something is happening which is far greater than individuals. Something that has to do with eternity, with the destiny of Klal Yisrael. He knew his brothers, and they were all tzaddikim. This is not Derech HaTeva, that his brothers would do such a thing. He's thrown into a pit, Nechoshem Vakravim, swarming all over. They don't harm him. He's taken out of the pit and sold to Orchas Yishmaelim. And he's Margish Dad Besomim, Matan Schoran Shel Tzadikim, thrown into a dungeon in Mitzrayim. Two very important people are in that same cell, and they dream crazy dreams. And suddenly he says, maybe I possess some powers to be a Pesach Halaymis. He never took a course in Pislim Halaymis, and he just, out of the top of his head, gives two Pisloinis, and woe and behold, suddenly he's a Navi. Short while later, he's taken out of his cell, out of the dungeon, and brought to the king. The king has a crazy dream, and he gives it a shot, and it works. And the crazy king takes a boy with no administrative experience at all, because he's a Poisach Halaymis, and he becomes the most important Mishnah LaMelech Mitzrayim. This is crazy. This isn't normal. And Yosef knows this is Yad Hashem. He doesn't understand exactly where it leads to. And Yosef is afraid whatever he does might, who knows? Yosef feels he is a pawn on a chessboard. It is not him. And he is machlit, he decides, I have no independence. I cannot decide to do anything. Maybe I'll mess things up. And therefore, Sheval Taisa. He leaves himself to the Ashgocha Elyona. What will transpire will transpire. He's afraid to do anything. Who knows? Who knows what he is entitled to do or not? And that is Lanias Daiti, the Pashtus. That is the Pashtus. There are so many things that Yosef would like to do. The first thing he would like to tell Yaakov, I'm alive. But he doesn't know whether he is entitled to do so. Because it is clear to Yosef that this has to do with the destiny of Klal Yisrael. And Chazal say, Reuven osek besaka vitanuso, Yaakov Yosef besaka vitanuso, v'akodesh bochu osek v'boira oiroi shel Moshiach. This has to do with Mashiach. It has to do with Golas Mitzrayim, and Golas Mitzrayim has to do with Mashiach. And therefore Yosef understands Sheval Taisa. It is not him, it's not his brothers, it's destiny. It's Ashgocha Elyona, and therefore he does nothing. In last week's Parsha, the Parsha that we lay in Shabbos, so Yosef finally sees his brothers, including Binyamin. Look. Kolam noson chalifois velebiyamin sholosh meis kesef vechamisho chalifois. And the Gemara asks in Megillah Daf Tet Zayin, Dova sheitztaya boy oisai tzadik yikoshel boy. Yosef So what happened with Exonis Passim? And the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph, Bishvil Shnei Sloim Milois Nesgal Gula Advorim V'yoda Avzeno Mitzrayim. How does he do the same with Binyamin? How does he do exactly the same mistake with Binyamin? And the Gemara answers, Remez Nosen Loi She'osed Mordechai Lotzeis Mezaroi, and he will wear Chamisha Bigda Malchus. How does that answer the question? How does that answer the question? Why are you doing this? So you want to give a remes, but why are you doing this? Others ask, he also gave him 300 kesef. So the Gaon says, how did he give him chamisha smolois? So the Gaon says, he gave Binyamin 5 junky suits that are worth $50 a piece. The one suit that he gave the other brothers is worth $250, an expensive, beautiful suit. So at the end of the day, they all got the same worth. They got one beautiful suit, a Shabbos tikka suit, and for Binyamin he gave 5 cheap suits. So at the end of the day, they all got the same. Nice. Nice. Who says? Who says? And what about the 300 kesef? So it is said that the Beis HaLevi as a child was asked this question, and the Beis HaLevi said, well, Shloishim Shel Eved, if you kill an Eved, you pay Shloishim Shkolim. So the worth of an Eved is Shloishim. And the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Mem Daled, Adam Moich HaRav Doli Yoiv Dekechovim Konsa Noisi Ad HaSora Medomov. 10 times 30 is 300. So Yosef told the other brothers, you all sold me the Eretz Mitzrayim. V'amoicher avdoi, and ever divri le'eretz Mitzrayim, konsanoi se'ad asora bedomov. 10 times shloishim shel eved is 300. So, say thank you, I don't demand you compensate me, but I am deducting 300 shekel from each and every one of you because you sold me le'eretz Mitzrayim, and asora bedomov is 300 shekel. But Binyamin was the only one that wasn't involved, so he gets the 300 shekel. Beautiful, beautiful word. Reuven wasn't involved in the Mechira, so why didn't he get 300 shekel? He deserves it, oh well. So the way I understand it, Yosef understands Beruach HaKodesh, then he needs to give these Chamisho Chalifos. It is not only indicating to Binyamin that Mordechai will have Chamisho Bigda Malchus. Why is that so important? Masov is Yetzirah Labonim. And in a way, with this act, with this deed, Yosef gives the koyach for Mordechai to be Goyel Yisrael in those days of Gzeres Haman to bring about the Geula and a salvation. So Masov is Sema Labonim, Masov is Yetzirah Labonim, and the Ovis were very well aware that what transpires with them is not only individual things, episodes that is happening to individual people. It all is associated with the osad, with the future, with the destiny of Klal Yisrael. And that is the way that Ramban explains almost every parsha in Chumash Bereishis. So we could go on and giving different examples. So Chazal don't deal with the 300 kesef. I think the question the Chazal asked is associated primarily with begodim, because the Ksenis Pasim was a beged, and these Khalifas were begodim. But I assume there was some remez with the Shloish Meis Kesef. I don't know, maybe we find something in Midrash Chazal, maybe not. But the basic approach to the Parshias and Chumash Bereishis should be Masa Oves Simen Labonim, Masa Oves Yitzira Labonim. And it is the Oves that gave us the koyach and the ability to survive this golus lamala mederach hateva benisim nisim, and it is only bekoychem shalovois, and that is why the Balaturim writes v'yohavto Hashem Elokecha b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol amidecha v'yohavto as oisius v'ovois, because the koyach of mesiras nefesh b'chol avavcha u'b'chol nafshecha b'shnei levavecha afilu noitles nafshecha, we have only from the Ovois, and that is Masa Ovois Yitzira Labonim. So Chazal say in Medrash, Kol Holech B'Darko V'Sani Miskoy B'Moro V'Schus Avois. So this week we depart from Chumash Bereishis and we start Sefer HaGolus V'HaGa'ulo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember our Schus Avois and Bris Avois and Chazda Avois. ובגלל אבו ישתשיה בוני לסובי גאולה לבני בניהם, ושל בזרחת סוג גאולה סיסרויל, and to be as משיח צדקנו, במהרו ביומנו. יש כוח.